Well, they tell me it's snowing like crazy outside. I'm feeling better and better about calling off Sunday night service. So those of you who are thinking about writing an anonymous letter to complain about how unspiritual, well, just, I was on top of it right there, buddy. So some of you are thinking, yeah, I'm leaving now. I know, so it's all right. But if you need help, go ahead, Mike. If you need help getting the snow off your windshield, well, look for somebody that's got a scraper after this service, and we'll get moving here. Maybe you'll get out of here early, and you can get home before it gets... Travis said you wouldn't have any trouble getting here. Travis Meyer wouldn't have any trouble getting here. It might be going home, and so they're clearing a path to the car out there, so you'll be all right. Just two things. There is our annual business meeting. Our Constitution bylaws actually says on or about the second Wednesday of the month. Well, this is on or about the second Wednesday. It's going to be the Sunday night, the 16th of February. And the reason for that, our Wednesday night is so, there's so many people involved in so many places with our children and our youth and things, that it was just no longer, we just can't do it on Wednesday night. There are too many people that can't be in here because they're serving in too many other areas. And so on or about, we're moving it to Sunday night. So, all right, thank you. So, February the 16th, and we'll have deacon nominations to let you know about next week, and we'll have some exciting things to share. So that's Sunday night, February 16th. Make a note of that. If you didn't pick up a copy of the Pentecostal Evangel for your Super Bowl stuff, it was last Sunday, but this is Russell Wilson on the front page. They mentioned yesterday, you know, we had no idea the Seattle Seahawks were going to be in the Super Bowl when they did the interview and put him on the front of the evangel, but it just so happens he's the starting quarterback for Seattle, and he loves Jesus. And so if you didn't get a copy of that, not that you ought to root for the Seahawks, because Peyton's a good guy too, but anyway, you might pick up, I even found out that John Harbaugh's a believer. Maybe Jim's not, but anyway, so you can pick up a copy out there if you want, if there's some left, and anyway, it's good to know. All right. It's Super Bowl Sunday. How about that? Every few years, I decide to preach what I call a Super Bowl sermon. It's been about 5 years since I've done this. And so, in case you're not a sports fan or you have no idea about American football or whatever, let me just tell you, this is Super Bowl Sunday. There's a big game tonight. I first heard more than 100 million people. Somebody yesterday said 150 million or 180 million people are going to watch the Super Bowl from around the world. That's just amazing to me. And you understand why people pay huge amounts of money to be able to show their commercial tonight, because 150 million people are going to see their advertisement and watch this football game. It's the biggest sporting event in America. And I know it doesn't sound very spiritual to preach a Super Bowl sermon, but remember, Jesus used everyday events and circumstances to teach spiritual truth. Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then would talk about something. So the kingdom of heaven is like the Super Bowl, like a football game, only it's really not, but for the sake of this message, it is. And so go with me this morning. So I called this message What Really Matters, because there are some things about the game that really don't matter too much. All the pregame hype, and I would assume that if the TV's on right now, there's already pregame stuff that's happening. All the hype, who's singing at halftime, I don't even know who's... Bruno Mars. I don't even know who that is. So anyway, Bruno Mars is singing. Who's singing at halftime doesn't matter. The cheerleaders, or what color the jerseys are, you know, what the cheerleaders wear, what food is served at the concession stand, how high the prices are, what celebrities are sitting in the owner's box. None of that stuff is really important. What matters is the game itself, what's played out on the field. What matters is who wins the football game. And so I want to talk about the stuff that really matters in being victorious in tonight's game, and the things that really matter in being victorious in our spiritual life. So here are some things that really matter. First of all, fundamentals matter. In every area of your life, the fundamentals matter. You learn how to walk as a baby, and every time you walk, from the first steps you take to the walk that you made from your car and down the aisle this morning, it was all about the same fundamentals that you learned as a toddler. Balance, coordination, gravity, momentum. Once you got moving, you are, and it's the same thing. Now you don't sit down on your bottom as I hope you don't. I hope none of you do on the way to your car this morning, the way toddlers do. But to keep moving, it's the same stuff. It's fundamentals. We use it in every part of our life. You rely on the same fundamentals, eating and drinking. It's all about fundamentals. We teach our kids how to do it. We teach them. Well, they learn with their hand, and then we learn with a fork. And there's not much innovation for that. It's kind of, you know, point, lift, aim, insert, you know, chew, swallow. It's the fundamentals. If you try to get too fancy, you can lose an eye with something. So it's the same stuff. It's all fundamentals. Driving a car, doesn't matter if it's a $400,000 race car, you know, if it's a Lamborghini and Justin Bieber driving or whoever, or whether it's a jalopy that you're not sure, it's the same stuff. You start the engine, you got gears and pedals and a steering wheel. It's just the fundamentals. Pianos, you learn where middle C is and you learn the scale, and everything grows out of that. It's just a matter of knowing the fundamentals. It's all the same stuff. Over and over again, just applied, it's fundamentals. Well, football is about the fundamentals. Run, pass, catch, block, tackle, kick. And whichever team executes the fundamentals tonight the best is going to win the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter that they're NFL stars. I've got a football in here. It doesn't matter if they're NFL or if it's Pop Warner or if it's the little guys out there that can't figure out which end of the field they're running to. It's the same stuff. Catch the ball, run with the ball, pass the ball, you know, kick the whatever. It's the same fundamentals. It's the same thing. The story is told, I like holding that ball. The story is told that the legendary coach, Vince Lombardi, that on one occasion when his team had done really poorly, the next morning he got them all in there and he said, all right, here's the deal. We're going back to the fundamentals of the game. And he picked up a football and said, this is a football. Now, that's the fundamentals. That's pretty basic, isn't it? Run, pass, catch, block, tackle, kick. Those are the fundamentals. And you would think from watching professional football now that knowing how to negotiate a contract, learning an original move to do after you score a touchdown, how to get high-dollar endorsements, those are the fundamentals of football anymore. But the truth is, it doesn't matter how much you get paid or what your signing bonus was or how many commercial endorsements you have, if you don't carry out the fundamentals of football, run, pass, catch, block, tackle, kick, if you don't carry out those fundamentals, you're not going to win and nobody wants your picture on the Wheaties box. You have to carry out the fundamentals. Well, folks, in your life and in your walk with God, it's the fundamentals that matter. It starts with the same with everyone, a relationship with God. We repent of our sins and ask Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of our life. And then we introduce the fundamentals into our relationship with Christ. The ancients called them spiritual disciplines. We pray, we talk to God regularly and consistently. We read and study the Bible so we can learn what God desires of us, and we apply that in our life in obedience. We learn how to walk in faith. We spend time in worship and we give praise to God like we did this morning. We connect with other believers in fellowship. We discover our own gifts and we use those gifts to serve God and to serve others. We give to God and the work of His kingdom of our finances and our time and resources. We love God. We love our neighbors. We tell others what Christ has done for us. All of those things together, those are the fundamentals. One day an expert in the law asked Jesus, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" In other words, he said, "Jesus, what really matters?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And then he said, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." In other words, Jesus said, it all hinges on this. The whole thing is supported by this. It all comes down to this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that sums it. It doesn't get any more fundamental than that. You can't be a Christian. You can't be all that God calls you to be if you don't love God and love others. John reinforces that command in 1 John 3 when he said, "And this is His command, to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, and to love one another as He commanded us." It wraps up in that right there. Love God, love one another. That's the fundamentals of the Christian faith and the Christian life. Run, pass, catch, block, tackle, kick. Like Lombardi's, this is a football. Let me tell you, this is a Bible. This is God's Word. This is where we start. It's fundamentals. This is how you win football games. And this is how you succeed in life. This is how you make it. It's a fundamental. Love God, love your neighbor, forgive one another, serve one another, obey the teachings of this book. this spiritual discipline, these are the fundamentals, and it's by executing these fundamentals that we live a life of fulfillment and faith. There's no shortcuts, all right? And you can showboat all you want. Those guys that do that backflip into the end zone and drop the ball 6 inches before they get in, that's when you get in trouble, is when you start. Just stick to the fundamentals, all right? Be one of those red letter edition Christians. Do what Jesus said to do. Live out the fundamentals of your life. Stick to the fundamentals. You hear me say it a lot of times, the plain things are the main things, and the main things are the plain things. So you can spend a lot of time trying to figure out about everything from end time prophecy to everything else and ignore doing the fundamentals. Folks, do the fundamentals. Do the fundamentals. Do what He's called us to do. Well, here's number two. Consistency matters. Vince Lombardi again said, you don't, I'm quoting from him and Jesus, but anyway, in Green Bay, anyway, Lombardi said, you don't do things right part of the time, you do things right all of the time. Consistency matters. That's how you win football games. And folks, that's how you overcome and walk a pleasing, successful spiritual life. Inconsistency is a plague to the success of sports teams. Just look at the Dallas Cowboys this year. You know, you're great one quarter. But as the coach always said, well, you know, you got to play all four quarters. That's right. Yeah, there's a whole other half. And so you got to do it. Yeah, inconsistency is a plague on the Christian life as well. Wonder why we don't have spiritual victory in your life? Maybe it's because of inconsistency in your walk with God. So you pray occasionally, you read your Bible every day for 2 weeks, and then you don't pick it up for a couple of months. You come to church 3 Sundays in a row, and then nobody sees you for the next 6 months. You give in the offering when you think about it. You know, you visit whatever, you know, with other believers, but then you just back away. The rest of the time, you kind of live to please yourself and disobey God and ignore His Word and live any old way you want to live. Doing things right part of the time doesn't lead to victory on the football field, and it won't lead to victory in your spiritual life either. Obedience and consistency lead to victory. You say, yeah, but it's hard. I know. But ask any player tonight on either team and they'll tell you, you have to play through the adversity. You have to play through the pain. You have to play when it's 20 below out there. You have to play when it's mud and nasty, and you're playing when you're limping, and you're playing when you're hurting. But you got to play through that, and you got to be consistent. Consistency in your spiritual walk will lead you to maturity, to spiritual growth and insight. It'll lead to progress in every area of your life. Folks, it's time we committed ourselves to obeying God and making right choices for Him all of the time. Not just every once in a while, but all of the time. And here's something else you should remember with regard to consistency. Just because you won last time doesn't guarantee success this time. Just because you won the last 10 games doesn't guarantee you can coast because you're going to win the next 5 games. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs, all right? They had a great season, started out great, but then got a little rocky at the end. What am I saying? I'm just saying don't get too cocky about this. Practice the fundamentals, be consistent, remain disciplined, be on guard, be diligent, guard your heart, guard your spirit. I don't care if you've been a professional Christian for the last 60 years, you still guard your heart. In football, if you stop practicing and you ignore the fundamentals, you stop listening to the coach, you stop listening to the other players, if you start trying to show up, it doesn't matter how many games you've won in the past, you're headed towards defeat. And spiritually speaking, if you drop your guard and you start playing with sin, if you start entertaining things that you shouldn't be entertaining, if you start ignoring the fundamentals, you stop praying, you stop reading God's Word, you stop meeting with God's people, you stop listening to God's Word as it's preached or taught, you stop attending church, you cut off fellowship with God's people, all those things, then regardless of the spiritual successes of the past, you'll find yourself falling into trouble. You have to remain vigilant and consistent and faithful. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The Bible says that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, don't give him an opportunity to devour you. Stay vigilant. Be consistent. Stay faithful in your walk with God. Keep practicing the fundamentals. Keep doing what God calls you to do. Stay close to God. Stay close to God's people. Stay involved in the life of God and the life of the church. Guard your heart. Guard your spirit. Guard your prayer life, your devotional life. Don't let wrong attitudes creep in Stay open to what God wants to do and stand firm. Again, I don't care how long you've been a Christian or what your position is in the church, the warning goes to all of us from the Apostle Paul. Be careful that you don't fall. Apostle Paul, Vince Lombardi, you don't do things right part of the time. You do things right all of the time. Well, what if we fail? Is there hope for us? Paul went on to say, but here's the thing, God is faithful so that even when you're tempted, He'll provide a way out so that you can bear up under it or you can stand up under it. We can make it, but it requires faithfulness and attention to detail every day. Consistent devotion and commitment to the Lord. What really matters? Fundamentals matter. Consistency matters, and the clock matters. In the game tonight, there's two clocks that matter, the game clock and the play clock. The game clock lets us know how much time there is in the entire game. So we can look at it, we know how much time we've got left to play the game, whether that's 30 minutes or 15 minutes, a quarter, a half, whatever, or if it's down to 2 minutes. And the strategies change for playing the game depending upon the score and on the time left on the clock. If you're ahead by 2 points or 3 points and there's time on the clock, you're thinking, all right, we want to run plays, not passing plays. We want to slow down the clock. We want to take as much time. Don't go out of bounds. Stay in bounds. We're trying to run out the clock so the other team doesn't have time to get the ball and to score a field goal or a touchdown and win the game. So we manage the clock. They talk about that. The commentators, you'll hear them talk about it tonight, about poor clock management. Oh, they shouldn't have wasted that timeout, and they're not managing the clock and all this stuff. So we need to know what time it is on the game clock. It affects our strategy. We believe Jesus is coming soon. We don't know how much time we have left, but the signs all around us point to the Lord's return and the end of days. In the game tonight, there'll finally be a 2-minute warning, and everybody knows we got 2 minutes left. And perhaps in a spiritual sense, we're getting close to the 2-minute warning. I don't know. Maybe there's not much time left for this old world. So it affects what we do. We devote ourselves to the work of God in His kingdom as never before. If we're down to the 2-minute warning, then as a church, as the body of Christ in the world, we need to examine our play strategy. If we don't have another full half, if we don't have a whole quarter left to play, if the spiritual game clock of time is winding down, then we need to go into what the football players call a hurry-up offense. We need to hurry up and get the gospel and get the Word of God to everybody we can. People are dying every day without Christ, and there's just so much time left, we need to give it all we've got in the time that we have left. We don't have time for fussing and fighting among ourselves because the seconds are ticking away on the game clock, and what can be done must be done. And how foolish if in the last minute or the last couple of minutes of the game tonight, when the game could still be won, if one team starts fighting with their teammates on the sideline and arguing with the coaches and with each other, and they let pride and arrogance and ego get in the way, and one guy's saying, I'm not going back out there unless he throws the ball to me, all right? And the other guy's saying, that's a mistake, give me the ball. I'm not going out there unless it's a run play, and they're giving the ball to me. All right, and so they're arguing about who to give the ball to, and they're fussing and fighting, and Dez Bryant's yelling at the, whatever, he's not in the game. But anyway, so everybody's yelling at one another, and there's one guy over there saying, I still think we should have changed the color of the jerseys. I'm not going out with this on, and somebody else is talking about they brought out the wrong Gatorade flavor, and they're fighting over all this stuff that doesn't matter. And they forget they only have 2 minutes to play, and they end up losing the game. And we'd say, well, that was stupid. That was silly. That was sad. But you know, as silly and stupid and terrible as it would be, it wouldn't be tragic because it's a football game. But I'll tell you what's tragic. Tragic is when the church, in the closing days of time, stands on the sidelines of history, and we fight with each other because we can't agree on the color of the jerseys or the color of the carpet or where the water fountain ought to be or who took my dish home from the potluck supper that we had. And we fight over all this stuff or whether the programs ought to be printed in King James Version or New International or the Living Bible or who got the big classroom or why they moved that person out of there, or we start showing off for the cameras and spending our time and money and resources on trying to gain fame or acceptance, or we spend all our time playing to the crowd instead of playing to the King, and moments of time slip away and the world perishes without ever hearing the news that Jesus died on the cross to save them and forgive their sins. Folk, that would be tragic. That's what would be tragic. The seconds are ticking away on the game clock, and it matters how we respond. But there is another clock that we have to watch in the game, and that's the play clock. The rules say the clock begins at 40 seconds at end of the previous play unless there's an administrative stoppage, including a change of possession, at which 25 seconds is used, and clock begins after the referee declares the ball ready for play. You'll hear them, they'll stop, and they'll, please put 1.8 seconds back on the play clock, right? So we want to make sure the clock is right. And the quarterback knows that he has 25 seconds then to be able to have him snap the ball to execute the play. Without that, then they're called for delay of game. He's looking to see what the defense is, and what is it Peyton Manning does? Omaha. 318, hey! And so all of a sudden, it's like, all right, and you're watching, and they'll put it down on the bottom of the screen. It's like, yeah, one, and right there. We're running out of time on the play clock. That affects us personally. That's not about the rest of the game. That's what's affecting Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson. That's what's affecting that team that has the ball. And here's the deal. We don't know the day or the hour when Jesus will return for His church. So I'm not really certain what the time is on the game clock, to be honest. We look at the signs and think maybe it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, but it may be another millennium. It may be 1,000 years before Jesus decides to come back or the Father tells Him to come back. That's the game clock, but it doesn't change the reality of the play clock, right? Because that play clock is ticking away for me and for you personally. I'm running out of time, just like you are. We're looking in the mirror. We're all in a race. Brother Newbern used to talk about that. We're in a race against the clock, the sand in that hourglass, and it's flipping through there and it's picking up steam, isn't it? For most of us, it's like, man, I'm sure that the sand's falling through that hourglass a lot faster than it used to. Gravity's changing or something. But we're all in a battle against that clock, and we're losing the battle. Time's running out on a personal sense on the play clock. So if you're counting on making things right with God at some later date, you might ought to consider the time on the play clock and not just the time on the game clock. Because some of us live like we got all the time in the world. We got all the time. Look, the game clock says there's still 20 minutes left. There's still 15 minutes. We got a whole other quarter or whatever to play. And we think we have plenty of time, but we need to look at the play clock. It's down to 3 seconds. Oh, they've been saying that stuff about Jesus coming back for 2,000 years and He hadn't come yet, so what's the big deal? I've still got plenty of time. That's because you're just looking at the game clock. What's the play clock say for you? You see, that's deceptive when we just look at that one clock. Look at the play clock. Time may be about to run out for you personally. What are you going to do? Have you made things right in your life? Are you prepared to stand before God? Are things right with family and friends? Are there too many important things left undone or unfinished? And the play clock's running down for each of us. It matters what time it is on both clocks. Are you living your life wisely? Are you using the time wisely? Are you living in light of eternity? Is Jesus pleased with how you're living your life? Are you making your life count for time and eternity? Because the clock is running down for each of us. The time on the game clock and on the play clock both matter. And we're almost out of time. Well, what really matters? Consider this, that every play matters. Every play matters. At the end of the game tonight, someone will likely be saying, if only they'd made that extra point in the first half. If only he had been able to catch that pass in the last 30 seconds. If only they'd gone for the field goal instead of trying that fourth down play in the third quarter, if only. And the thing is, at the time, it probably didn't seem like such a big deal. That they had to call a timeout because of confusion or it didn't seem like a big deal at the moment. It was just one play out of dozens of plays called in that half or that quarter. But the truth is, every play matters. You can't afford to coast for a while. You can't afford to coast in the middle of the Super Bowl. It's the most important game of the year. You can't coast for a while. Every down matters. That one play where you stopped caring, that one quarter when you stopped concentrating, when you stopped executing the fundamentals, that may end up costing you and the team the game. If only I'd caught that pass. If only I, instead of looking at the stands, I'd look to catch the ball. If only I hadn't turned upfield before I caught it. All those things. If I'd only made that one play. If I could only do that over. And folks, if only is one of the saddest phrases in the English language. If only I had lived for Jesus, If only I'd obeyed God's word in this area of my life. If only I'd stayed true to God's word. If only I'd stayed true to my marriage vows or to my commitment to Christ. But it was just that one play. It was just that one time. It was just one mistake. It was one relationship. It was just one sin. It was just one choice. It was just one moment. But remember, every play matters. And the price can be high. And the cost and the consequences of wrong action and sinful mistakes can be painful. It might even cost you the game. It might even cost you your life, your future, your soul. Be faithful. Be consistent in your life because every play matters. I remember years ago we'd gone to graduation of somebody here in the church graduating from the fire academy here. And I remember hearing the fire chief in Tulsa speaking to the new graduates from the fire academy, and he told them over all the years he'd been on the department, he said it wasn't poor performance or failing to do the job that got people fired. He said almost 100% of the time it was character issues that got people fired or dismissed from the fire department. It wasn't mistakes on the job. It was a lack of character in their life. It might have been that one wrong choice, one wrong play, but it could cost you the game. Live a faithful, consistent life, a life committed to Christ, because it could cost you the game. And every day and every play and every choice matters. What really matters in the game tonight? Winning matters. Now, I know we say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But trust me, in the Super Bowl tonight, no, it just matters about who wins. All right, how you play the game. If you could, there'd be a penalty on every play. Somebody holds on every play. Somebody gets by with something. There's a little face mask. We don't even know what all goes on down there in the pile. You know, there's something and trash talking go on. So it matters who wins. And here's the deal. I don't know if God cares who wins the Super Bowl tonight. And both those teams are going to take a knee before and pray. And some of them are born-again believers and they're praying extra hard. You know, I don't know. I don't know how God sorts it out. So I don't know if He cares who wins the Super Bowl. But I know this. I know He cares whether you go to heaven or not. He cares so much that He sent His Son to die for you so you could be saved and have a new life in Christ. And when Denver and Seattle get to the end of the game clock tonight, the one thing that really matters to those players is who won the game. And when we get to the end of the game clock of our life, there's only one thing that's going to matter. Did we make Jesus Christ the Savior and Lord of our life? Are we going to heaven or not? That's all that's going to matter. It's not enough that you look pretty throughout your life or you got through unscathed, you tried to be a good person, you helped a few people along the way. That's not enough. You can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. All that matters is, have your sins been forgiven through your faith in Christ? Did you live your life for Him? Did you make Him Savior and Lord of your life? Regardless of how good a player you are, without Jesus, you lose the only game that matters. Coach Lombardi said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Well, folks, eternal life with Christ in heaven isn't everything. It's the only thing. It's the only thing. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. Nothing else really mattered. It's interesting that at the end of the game tonight, the winning team's going to celebrate. The commissioner will award the trophy to the team owner and the coach and the players. All the players get a huge big ring with diamonds and stuff and a huge bonus. They get more as a bonus for winning this game than all y'all are going to make this year. The president will call the locker room to congratulate them. The losing team, they just go in the locker room to lick their wounds. Not even New Jersey's governor calls them. Nobody called them. I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't want to pick on him. Bless his heart. We need to pray for him. I think Joe Biden calls the losing team. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. Just a joke. Everybody loves Joe. And here's the deal. Seattle, or whoever turns out to be the losing team, you know what? They could walk out of there and say, we're the second best team in America. But you'll never hear them say that. Because there's no second place in the Super Bowl. There's just winners and losers. There's just one team that wins. Only one team gets to go to the White House. Only one team gets the big check. Only one team gets the ring, gets bragging rights. All right? Just one team. Second place, almost, it doesn't count. I read years ago, I found a little book. It was written by a survivor of the Titanic, of the shipwreck. Talked about him witnessing to people in one of the lifeboats and stuff. And he pointed out the fact that when the Titanic went down, as word reached the world, they posted lists of the passengers on board in both America and in England. The ship had left England, right, coming to America. And he pointed out the fact that when they listed them, the passengers weren't listed by class or passage or by cabin or deck. They weren't listed by status or position, even though John Astor and other wealthy and notable people were on board. There were simply two lists posted, just two categories, lost and saved. Just two categories. And when it comes down to it, folks, there's just two categories, saved and lost. There's no category for almost saved, almost tried, second place, runner-up, just saved and lost. And all these thoughts are just about a football game, and some of you don't even care. Some of you won't even watch it. You'll watch the Puppy Bowl or whatever it is on some other channel. Because it's just a game, and I get that. But life isn't a game, and eternity is real, and it's forever. It really matters. So let me ask you, have you made Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life? Are you living so that at the end, when the clock runs out, you'll be with Jesus in heaven? The game clock, yeah, keep an eye on that for the sake of the strategy of church and how we deal with people. Sure, keep an eye on the game clock, but keep an eye on the play clock as well for your life, because you can't wait too long to make that decision. It's up to you today. And the truth is, most of us think we're under the two-minute warning. The game clock's running out, and the play clock for some of us may be almost down to zero. And what are we going to do? Will we surrender our life to Christ? Will we start living our life in a way that pleases Him and that fulfills our purpose, that counts for time and eternity? But the choice is up to you, remember. And it's not about a trophy or a big ring or a bonus. It's about more than that. It's about heaven and about eternity. Your life matters, and your choice matters. And the question is, what will it be? Is it time to make a new commitment to Christ, to surrender to Him, to live for Him, to make Him Lord of your life, so that at the end, when the play clock and the game clock all run out, you can say, I did what I needed to do. I was consistent in my walk. I made Jesus the Savior and Lord of my life, and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. The Apostle Paul used a sports metaphor when he said that the Lord would call us home. He'd fought a good fight, finished the course. He won the game, right? Fought the fight. And he said, and now there awaits me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord Himself will present to me on that day. He was talking about the winner of the game who stood in the winner's circle, and that crown of righteousness was what the Lord presented to him. And he said, and it's not just for me, it's for everybody who longs for and loves His appearing. And folks, one of these days, they'll present us, I hate to use that term, the winners, but those who put their faith in Christ and will stand before Him. I don't know. There's a winner's crown. It was a garland that Paul was referring to. A winner's crown, and someone said, we'll cast our crowns at His feet. Because we made it there by His grace and by His mercy, by His faithfulness in our lives. Aren't you grateful for that? If you're here this morning and you need to make a new commitment to Christ, this is the place to do it and the time to do it. This is the day, Super Bowl Sunday in 2014, to say, I'm going to make a new commitment to Christ, that I'm going to do what is required of me. I'm going to surrender my heart and life to Him, because nothing else is more important. It's all that really matters is living for Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? I know most everybody here, but you know what? Even though I know you, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know what's going on the inside. And so I invite you this morning, if you need prayer, if you just feel a need, you'd just like to pray a prayer or somebody to pray with you to commit your life to Christ. It's to say, I want to serve You. Maybe I haven't been carrying out the fundamentals. I haven't been living the way I need to, and I want to make a change. The pastors are here at the front. We'll pray with you this morning. But I feel free to slip out and just come here to the front. They'll pray with you. But I want to pray for all of us right now, that we'll be consistent in our walk with the Lord. And if you need prayer, feel free to slip out right now as I pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we look at our life and we examine the play clock of our life. We realize, Lord, that it may be later now than it's ever been. It is for all of us. And we realize that, Lord, when we look at it, we're thinking, Lord, I need to surrender to You. I need to make some changes in my life. I've had my eye on the game clock all along and thought I had plenty of time, but I realize there's a play clock and the seconds are ticking away and I need to change how I live. I need to change how I approach others. I need to change things in my life. And so today, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to You. I'm committing my life to You in a new way, in a stronger fashion. Lord, I've ignored the fundamentals of the Christian faith, those spiritual disciplines, those things that I know lend themselves to faithful living and fulfillment in life. And Lord, I make that choice to do again those things that I once did, to pray and to worship and to study Your Word and to obey Your Word, to live it out every day. Lord, I choose to carry out the fundamentals, to know that this is a Bible and it points the way for me. And Lord, there may be folk here today who just feel like giving up. They've just grown weary of the battle, weary of all the adversity. Life's hard sometimes, but we battle on through the adversity. You'll hear those players tonight in the Super Bowl talk about it's been a tough season. We've had a lot of adversity, but we found a way to win. We found a way to battle through, and Lord, that's just a game. We choose today to find a way because of Your faithfulness to battle on through. We'll not give up because it's worth the battle and worth the effort and worth the struggle because it's about eternity. It's about what really matters for all of us. And so, Lord, we choose to walk with You and to trust You, and we're going to make it. We pledge ourselves to You today. Thank You, Lord, for being with us. Thank You for watching over us. Thank You for keeping us by Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be safe. I hear it's snowed like crazy out there. So, yeah, they're shaking their heads. Your car is going to be covered with snow. So please be careful walking out there. If you need somebody to give you a hand or hang on to you or to help you with a car, I bet there's some guys that will help you. Be safe. Remember, don't come back tonight. Stay home.
You are constant after all.